The Gemara on Daf Nun Zayin had a series of lessons about a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham's cloak is very long. You don't see any skin underneath the hem of his cloak. His cloak goes all the way down. His robe, and the cloak over the robe is also like that. You don't see any robe underneath the cloak. The table of the Talmud Chacham is very respectful. Two-thirds is covered with a tablecloth. One-third is empty, and on the third that's empty, he has his bowls and his vegetables. And it's careful also about the ring of the table. The ring of the table is not inside where the people are sitting. It's on the outside. We learned in a braisa that the ring of the table of the Talmud Chacham is on the inside. So the Gemara gave a couple of answers. One suggestion is that where there is a child, so then the ring is on the outside, that the child not play with it and make the table shake. If there's no child, then the ring, in fact, is like the braisa says, on the inside.
What is the ring for?
I guess to drag the table from place to place or to tie it. Then the Gemara says a second suggestion is that maybe both the Bryce and the Mishnah are talking about where we don't have a child. One is where there's an attendant. He could get hurt by the ring on the outside, so then the ring is on the inside. One is where we don't have an attendant, then the ring is on the outside. Alternatively, both are talking about where we have an attendant, so he could get hurt. But one is by day. By day, the attendant sees the ring, so then the ring could be on the outside. And one, the Bryce, the Mishnah, or the lesson here, is when the ring is, when the table's being used at night, the attendant wouldn't see it, so it's left on the inside. That's what we had gotten up to. And the very last line now of Nanzayin Amud Beis, continued Rabbi Banah, Vishalama Aretz, whereas the table of an ignoramus, Doma Lamadura Ukderos Makifos Osa. It's a mess. It's like a pot. It's like a fire with pots all around. In other words, so he has bread on the covered part of the table and all sorts of platters of food around the bread. All right, so it's not like a Talmud Chacham's table. Mita shel Talmidei Chachamim Ketzad. What is the nature of the bed of the Talmidei Chachamim? Kol shein tachtea el asaglin b'yemos hachama u'min'alin b'yemos hakshamim. It doesn't have things underneath the bed. The only thing that might go underneath the bed of a Talmud Chacham would be sandals, which are made of hard leather for the summer, and shoes, which are made of soft leather in the winter. However, shel Am Haaretz, but the Am Haaretz, he's not careful with what he puts under his bed. He puts all sorts of things under the bed, as the Meiri explains. If you have things under the bed, then people might come to get their things, and they will walk into the bedroom at a time that's not modest for them to be there. The Am Haaretz, he doesn't care, so Dome Laotzer Balos. So the area underneath his bed is like a confused storehouse, lots of stuff. He's got a whole storage area under his bed. He's not careful to keep the bed clear. So now we have some stories about Rabbi Banah. Rabbi Banah wanted to do a mitzvah, apparently to help people out. They should know what's tamei. So if they're carrying truma, to stay away from it. A kohen should stay away from it. So Rabbi Banah of Kametzayin Ma'arta, he used to make markers for the extent of a burial cave, a burial crypt. So everybody knows where the opening is. You don't know how far it goes under the ground. So he would put up signs or fences. The burial crypt goes this far, goes that far, this wide. So the Kohanim know not to walk on top of the burial cave, because then they could become Tameh, which they're not allowed to do. Or the Truma that people are carrying could become Tameh and would have to be burned. So he went to Chevron, and he went to Maras HaMachpelah. So Kimatulam Artad Avram, when he walked into the cave of Avram Avinu to measure how far it goes to be able to put up, signs on top, Ashkechel Eliezer Avad Avram, Dukai Kame Bava. So he met Eliezer, the slave of Avram, standing in front of the cave to keep him from walking in. Amarle. So he asked Eliezer, my covered Avram, what's Avram Avinu busy with? Amarle. So the slave Eliezer said back to Rabbi Banah, Gani beknafa de Sara v'kamayna lebereshe. He's lying in the arms of Sarah, and Sarah's looking at his head. In other words, there is a lot of affection going on between Avram and Sarah, even after they were dead and buried. Amarle, so he said to him, Zil emale bana kaya bava. Please go tell Avram Avinu that his descendant, Bana, is standing by the doorway, wants to come in. Amarle leil. So Eliezer came back and said, Avram Avinu said you could come in. Yedia, maybe Yedia, dieta bahayamalaka. It's well known that there's no real urges in that future world. So the affection between Avram and Sarah is very pure. It's like Adam HaRishon before he ate from the tree of knowledge when he didn't have clothing. It wasn't immodest before eating from the tree of knowledge for there to be public displays of affection between a husband and a wife. And therefore, since Avram Avinu, he's in a realm where there's no longer Yetzihara, it's not immodest to see the affection that Sarah is showing Avram Avinu, that he's lying in her lap with his head on her lap, and she's looking at him, gazing at him. So, Ayil, he was allowed in. Ayin, Vinafak, he surveyed the dimensions of the burial grave, and then he walked out. So remember, Mara Samach Pela has four sets of couples. You have Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, but there's also Adam and Chava. So Kimata Lamarta Adam HaRishon, when he got to the grave crypt of Adam HaRishon, Yatsa Bas Kol Amra, a voice came out of heaven and said, listen, you looked at Yaakov Avinu. Nistakalta Bidmust Yukni. You looked at the person who has the resemblance of my Diyukan, of my likeness. But Bidyukni Atzmi, but to look at Adam HaRishon, who's literally created B'Tselem Elokim, with God's resemblance on him, to look at Adam HaRishon, Al Tistakel, that you have no right to look at, that's something too high. You know, that's not respectful to God. God put his very face on Adam HaRishon's face, so that's not something for you to look at. To look at Yaakov Avinu, you already did, but to look at Adam HaRishon, that's already going too far. Sure, yeah, there's the famous Zohar that when the angels come to Avram, the calf ran away and it ran to the Mara Samach Pela. Avram walked in and saw a great light. He met Adam HaRishon there and he had a desire to be buried there as well. And that's why he paid so much money to Ephron to get it, to be able to bury Sarah there.
Rabbi, is an idea, I guess, the deceased, where they're buried, their souls reside also.
Yeah, but also that for the tzaddikim, they're somewhat alive. Right? That Sarah is still taking care of Avram Avinu. They're not really dead. They're hidden in the ground. But
it sounds like they're there, which is interesting.
They're there, and in some measure, they're still living. But on the other measure, they're not living, right? They don't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. It's a pure place. So Hashem told Rabbanah, you can't go into the grave of Adam HaRishon. So Rabbanah said back to Hashem, but Abinu Litzuyunim Arta, I'm doing this in order to help people. I want to mark the dimensions of the crypt so that the Kohanim know where to avoid and people with Shuma know what to avoid. So Hashem said, you don't need to. Once you have the measurements of Avram Avinu's grave, so you know what the measurements of Adam are. Remember, it's Ma'ara Samach Pela. It's a double cave. So the two caves are the same size. So Kamida Sachitzona, Kachmida Sapnimis. Like the measure of the external crypt, where you have Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, and Leah, the same dimensions are the dimensions of the inner cave, which has Adam and Chava. So Mara says, batim zulam alam mizu. Now, according to the opinion that it's not an external cave and then an inner crypt, but rather a top cave and on top of it a lower cave. So Kamida Silyona, Kachmina Satachtona, you went through the top cave. You don't need to then go through the bottom cave, because the bottom cave is the same in size as the top cave. So there was no need to measure further, and therefore, since it's not respectful to see Hashem's, you know, very handiwork and that being that has Tzelem Elokim so vividly upon him, Hashem told Rabbanah not to go into the cave which had Adam HaRishon. Amar Rabbi Banah, Rabbanah said, Nistakalti b'shnei hakevav. Even though I couldn't go into the crypt, I still saw the two heels of Adam HaRishon. And Adam HaRishon's body was so special, his soul was shining through it, it was so holy, that domin l'shnei galgale chama. It was like two orbs of the sun. It was radiating so much light. It was so beautiful. So now talking about the beauty of the Avos. Hakol b'fnei Sarah, take any human being and compare her or him to the beauty of our matriarch Sarah. It's kikof b'fnei Adam. It's like taking a monkey and trying to compare a monkey to a human being. A human being is much more beautiful than a monkey. That's the degree of difference of the beauty of Sarah to the beauty of a human being. Sarah b'fnei Chava, as beautiful as Sarah was, she wasn't like Chava. Chava, the very first woman, was created by God himself. So there was a greater beauty to the handiwork of God. So Sarah was kikof, was like a monkey b'fnei Adam compared to a human being when compared to Chava. Now Chava was created by God, but only second. First Hashem created Adam. So Chava b'fnei Adam, comparing Chava to the beauty of Adam HaRishon, is kikof b'fnei Adam, like comparing a monkey to the beauty of a human being. And Adam b'fnei Shechina, the beauty of Adam HaRishon compared to the beauty of the Shechina, is kikof b'fnei Adam, is like comparing a monkey to a human being. No, I don't think the air source is the Gemara.
The people that want to take it in a wrong way.
I don't think so. I think no. They...
Just external beauty or inner beauty?
No, inner beauty, the neshama shining out, and that thereby creates the external beauty as well. Shufrei Rav Kahana, the beauty of Rav Kahana, Main Shufrei Rav Avu, was similar to the beauty, or a little bit of the beauty of Rav Avoh. Shufrei Rav Avoh, the beauty of Rav Avoh, was main Shufrei de Yaakov Avinu, was like a little bit of the beauty of our father Yaakov. And Shufrei de Yaakov Avinu, and the beauty of our father Yaakov, was main Shufrei, like a little bit of the beauty to Adam HaRishon of Adam HaRishon. Alright, another story about burial caves. Ahu Amgusha, there was a magician. Davachatit Shachvi. He used to dig up dead bodies and take off their clothes.
The bodies buried naked?
No, they have tachvichim.
Ah, that's what they mean?
Yeah. He used to bury, take up the bodies and take the clothes off. So kimat amar to Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, when he got to the grave, the burial cave of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, so Rav Tuvi Bar Masna grabbed him. The corpse, Tafse Bedikna, grabbed the beard of this magician. As Abaye, so Abaye came to the crypt. Amarle, he said to Rav Tuvi, Rematusa minach shavke, please, I request of you, let him go. So he let him go. Lashan Achriti, the next year, Hadar Asa, again he came to try to take the clothes off of Rav Tuvi's body. So Tafse Bedikna, so again Rav Tuvi's body grabbed him in the beard. Asabaya Abaye came and again asked Rav Tuvi, release him. Lo shavke, he wouldn't do so. Adai simispra, until Abaye brought scissors, the gazi ladikna, and cut off the magician's beard. Ahud Amalu, there was a man who said to his children as he was dying, Chavita da'afra l'chad b'roi, I give a keg of a barrel, a keg of dirt to one of my sons. Chavita de garmi, a barrel of bones, l'chad b'ra'i, to one of my sons. Chavita de udra, and a barrel of cotton, l'chad b'ra'i, to one of my sons. Lo aviyadi, my karmeluhu. You know, what is he saying? What's this dying man saying? I'm giving as a gift a barrel of cotton to one son, a barrel of bones to another, barrel of earth to the third. Again, they went to Rebbe Banah. Amaluhu Rabbeinu said to them, Islachu Ara, is there land that your father left off? Left Amalein? They said yes. Islachu Chayvasa, is there animals? In, yes. Islachu Bistarki, do you have quilts, you know, garments, bedding? Amalein? He said yes. Yachis, he said, this is what he's telling them. He's saying one son is getting the barrel of dust, he's going to get the land. Another son is getting the bones, he's getting the animal. The animals, the third son is getting the cotton, he's getting the bedding. He was dividing out the wealth. Ahu Gabriel was another man, I'm talking about Rabbana. Deshamil Debisu, the Kamil Brarte, he heard his wife telling his daughter, her daughter, Amailot Snias Bi Surah. Why are you not, you know, modest and you know, quiet when you have affairs, when you're disloyal? You know, learn from me, your mother. Hachitza, this woman, me, Asar bni Isla, I have 10 sons. So Leslie Ma'avuch Elochad, and only one of them is from your father. So the other 9 are from other men.
Oops.
So you should be quiet about it. Because Kishachiv, so the father now had this admission. Now he found out that of his 10 sons, only one was really his son. The other 9 were mamzerim, were bastards. Because Kishachiv, when he was dying, he said, "Kol mechase l'chad bra, all of my possessions go to the one son who's really mine. The rest have nothing." They didn't know which son that was the recipient. So also l'kamed Rabbana. So they went to Rabbana. Amaluhus Rabbana gave them advice like the advice of Shlomo HaMelech, you know, with the 2 prostitutes. Let's see who will hit the child, who will cut the child that's clearly not the real mother. So Rabbana said to them, Zilu Chavutu Kivra Davuchan, go, all of you hit the grave of your father. And then he's going to get up and he's going to tell you who's the son who deserves the wealth. So Azlukulu, so the 10 of them went. And Ahud Debray, but the one who was the real son, Lo Azal, he wasn't willing to go. He couldn't bring himself to hit his father. So Amaluhus Rabbana said, that's it, that was the test. Kulu Nechasi Dahai, all the possessions belong to this one. Azlu Echlu Kurtzu Beimalka. So the other 9 went, and they reported Rabbi Bana to the Persian king. They said, listen, look what this guy does. Based on some syrup, you know, some superstitious feeling, you know, he has a feeling that one of us is the real one and the others aren't, and based on that, he's taking away our money. So Amri, so they said to the king's people, to the police, there's this one man amongst the Jews, to come up with pneumonia, and she takes away money that rightfully should belong to others. Below Sad, he didn't have witnesses that it's not ours. Below Medina, without anything, no proof. So Asya, so they came, the police, and Chavshu, they put Rabbana in jail. So Azad the Bisu, Rabbana's wife, went to the Persian king. Amruluhu, she said to the government, Avdochad Havali, I had a slave. Paskul Ereshe, the robbers came, and they cut off his head. Ufashtu lamashke, and they stripped off his skin. V'achlu bistra, and they ate his flesh. The kamalu bamaya, and then they made out of the skin a cup, and they filled it up with water. Umashku belechavraya, and they gave the students to drink from the cup. V'lo kayavle dami, and they didn't pay me for the slave. They didn't pay me for having taken the slave and made out of him a barrel. V'lo agre, nor did they even pay me rent for having taken the slave. So the Persians, they said, what a riddle. So Yadimah Kamilu, they didn't know what she was talking about. So Amri, they said, you know what? Let's go call Rabbana, the wise man of the Jews. We have him in jail. Velema, maybe he can explain it to us. Kayul Rabbana. So they called Rabbana. Amalu, he said to them, Zarnuka Amaluchu, she's talking to you about a skin bottle. In other words, that she had a goat. The goat was stolen from her. She's calling the goat her slave. The robbers slaughtered the goat. They turned the goat into a canteen. Now they're using the canteen and they still haven't paid her. So Amri, they said, oh, v'chakim kulihai. So since Rabbana is so smart, Leisa Babava, he can sit on the courtyard outside of the jail, outside of the king's courtyard. V'nidun dina, let him judge judgments. So Chazad Avaksiv Bavula, he saw that written on the entrance, there was a sign. It said like this: Kol Dayan de Miskari Ledin. Any judge who's himself being sued, he's being called to court for some other accusation against him, lo shmei dayan. So he's no longer a judge, and you don't go to him for such a court case. So he said to the Persian judges, elamayata, if that's true, that just if there's a complaint against the judge, so that's enough to throw him out. So asinish me'alma, a person's going to come in from the world. He's just going to make a specious claim against the judge, and that's it. And now pasle, now this guy will disqualify judges. So if I know that my friend has a bad case, and it's in front of a tough judge, I'll just go make an accusation against this judge and help my friend out. Elas Rabbanan said, you have to change the line. What you should write on top of the gate is Kol Dayan de Miskari Ledin. A judge who was summoned to a court case because of accusations against him, and he lost the court case, he was convicted, and we took out money from him by right, then Lav Shmei Dayan, he's not someone who's a judge that you should continue to go to cases in front of. If he has a conviction for monetary misbehavior, so then how could he be an honest judge? He could be bought off. He's susceptible to bribery. Maybe he's looking for bribery. And then that's not cases that you should be judged by. So they did that kasvu achi. So they wrote on top of the door, Bram Savid Yudai Amri, but the elders of the Jews say, Kol Dayan de Miskayar Ledin Mafkidim Meneim Emona Bedin. Any judge who was summoned to a court case and we took away his money in the court case, Lav Shmei Dayan, can't be considered a judge. Chazad Chsevi saw also written on the doors, Barosh Kalmosa Anadam. The head of all death is me. Who is me? Blood. Blood is what causes death. Problems in the blood are what cause death. Barosh Kalchayin, what causes life? The head of all life is Ana, is me. What's me? Chama. Wine. Wine gives life, and blood gives death. So Rav Bana said, a guy who falls off of a roof and he dies. That's because of too much blood. That's a problem in the blood. Had he had bloodletting, he wouldn't have died. It's not true. He died because he smashed his skull, because other reasons. The Dinafal Damakatle, it's the extra blood that killed him. It's an infection in the blood. And furthermore, Mandidarkilamus, a person who is old and about to die. Mashki l'chamra v'chayi, you give him some wine, he's going to live. How do you say wine is life, blood is death? It's not true. Sometimes there are other reasons that cause death. Elacha bay l'mechtav, what you should say is like this. Berush kolmarin, what leads to all illness, infection, someone being weak, unable to get out of bed. Ana, it's me, a problem with the dam, a problem with the blood, too much blood. Rush Kol Asvin, the head of all cures, is Ana, is me, and that is Chamar, is the wine. Apparently, wine is the head of the cures. The Rashbam says, Sheim Yishte Yayin Ka'alacha V'Karoi, if you drink wine in the right amounts and the right way, Lo Yavali Decholi, you won't become sick. Not in the Torah. The Torah says you're not allowed to drink blood. Maybe non-Jews. It wouldn't be Jews. Jews wouldn't. It's the best way. It's the
red wine per day.
The wine is the best way to keep away illness.
Rabbi in my hometown, he had wine in the morning, put bread, the hard bread in there, the challah in there, and That was his breakfast and lunch, the same thing. Lunch and breakfast every day. He had
wine with some dried challah.
Dry challah.
Nice. Maybe he was inspired by our daf.
His face, you see the shine coming out. It was unbelievable.
The Rosh Kol Aswan, the head of all the healing. As I know, it was me, Chamar, was wine.
No wine for you.
Rabbi, I thought falling off from the roof was pleasurable. Now all of a sudden they're talking about death now. But
only in Yevamos. Only in Yevamos.
That you remember.
So Kasvu Achi. So they agreed. They changed what was over the doors. They wrote like this: Bram Savid Yudai Amri. But the elders of the Jews say, Barash Kolmarin, the head of all the illnesses, is Anaz Midam, too much blood. Barash Kol Asvin, the head of all the healings, is Anah Chamar, is me, wine. Asvin, the less Chamar, in a place where there's no wine. Taman Mitbo Samnin, that's where you need the herbs to cure the diseases. Another lesson on top of a doorway. Ksiva Pischa de Kaputkia, the entrance to this place, Kaputkia, it's a town of some sort. It's in Turkey, apparently. And it said on following, Anpik Anbig Antal, which meant that the Anpik, the Anbig, and the Antal were all the same size. Ezu Antal, what is an Antal? Revius Shel Torah, it's what we call a revius of a log, a quarter of a log. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah says like this. Further activities that are a sign of ownership, that if these activities were done for 3 years, then that is a chazakah if there was no protest against the resident doing these activities by the original owner. Hamarze. Gutter work. Hanging a gutter at the end of the gutter to take away the rainwater. Ein lo chazak. That was done for 3 years. That's not without a protest. That's not considered a chazaka. However, v'yesh l'mekomo chazaka. But the place of the gutter, that is a chazaka. Hamazchila. Mazchila is a big gutter where you get all the rain to this big pipe, and from there it goes to the edges. At the edges is where you have the marzev. So that is considered a chazaka, putting that up. Yesh lo chazaka.
This is a chazaka for the rest, for the house, not for the land.
Yeah.
For the house?
Yeah. A sign that you own the house, that you bought it.
If you put the drainage on the house, that yeah. means you own the house.
Yeah, if the other guy did a protest after 3 years, yeah. Sulam HaMitzri, an Egyptian ladder. So it's a small ladder, which is not that permanent. So Ein Lo Chazak, if I put it up on my friend's courtyard or next to my friend's house, that's not a proof that I own the house or the courtyard. But the ladder from Tsor, from Tyre, it's a permanent ladder, it's harder to move, so if I put it there, it's like I'm adding a building, putting up a machitza, yesh lo chazaka, that would create a presumption that it's mine if 3 years went by without a protest. Chalona mitzris, ein lo chazaka, the Egyptian window, is not a chazaka. The latsuris yesh lechazaka. The Tyrian window is a chazaka. Ezui chalon hamitzris. What's the Egyptian window? Kol shein rosh shaladim yachli kanis lesocha. It's so small that a person can't even get his head through it. If you domer yesh lemalbein, if it has a frame, afal pi shein rosh shaladim yachli kanis lesocha. Even though a person can't get his head in it, arezu chazaka. That is a sign of ownership. And if somebody didn't protest putting in the window by his neighbor, the neighbor has a chazaka that he can keep the window there.
Mm-hmm. Please. I don't understand. Is this person putting a window up in someone else?
else's house?
No, in his house, looking into his friend's courtyard. That's right. That's right. What does it mean that the drain itself doesn't have a chazaka, but there's a chazaka for its place? So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel explained. Achi kam, what the Mishnah means is Amar Zavin lo chazaka me ruach achas. Yesh lemachom chazaka mishtei ruchos. In other words, if he puts up the spout, that's not considered a permanent act. So he can't say, well, I put it on the east for 3 years, I can always leave it on the east. But the fact that he did put it up is a sign that he had a right to put it up. So he can't leave it in the east, but he could put it from the east to the west. He could keep the spout there. Chanina says, Amar zevein lo chazaka, shem haya aroch mekatzro. If it was very long, the neighbor can shorten it. Yesh l'mekom chazaka, but its place is a chazaka. That means shimbala akro. If he wants to uproot it entirely, ain't okro. He can't uproot it once he let it be there for 3 years. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba explained. Amar zevein lo chazaka. The spout doesn't have a chazaka. Shimrotz alivnos tachtav. If the neighbor wants to build something underneath it, bone, he can. But yesh l'mekom chazaka. But its place does have a chazaka. Shimbola okro, ain't no okro. If he wants to remove it, he can't do so.
Go ahead.
Now, this chazaka is accompanied with a request. Like, do I have to ask to place it there, or it's even if I didn't ask?
I don't think you asked, but the fact that there was no protest for 3 years.
Some sort.